If we're using the rhythm of the breath as a focal point for attention, and notice that the feelings of the breath are experienced within the space of the mind. The attention might focus on the sensations of the inflow or the outflow, but we can also notice the turning points of the breath at the end of the inhalation before it turns into the exhalation. There's a pause, a brief moment. At the end of the exhalation, before the inhalation begins, there's another pause. Keep the attention on that spacious quality. At that moment, the breath is not moving, but the mind is still aware, awake, attentive. So we can notice those turning points of the breath, appreciating the quality of stillness, spaciousness, that is part of the inner field of experience. Also, as the mind stays with the present moment more fully, more completely, then along with those turning points at the beginning and the end of the breath, we can also notice the space of the mind while the breath is moving. There's a sensation of breathing in, breathing out, but it all happens within the space of the mind. So not just space is being present at the turning points, but it's all around. There's an open field of awareness that the sensations of the breath are felt within. So the breath is present, but there's a space around it, before it, after it, all around it. Just as here in the temple, we have these bodies, the nuns, the monks, lay people, but there's the great space of the temple chamber that we're all within. We can focus on the people, the comings and goings of the people, but the people come and go in the space of the temple. That's exactly how it is in the mind. The rhythm of the breath, the feelings of the breath, come and go in the space of the inner temple. The word temple comes from the Latin templum, meaning a zone of contemplation, a designated area within which to watch what's happening, what comes, what goes, what shape things take. So to contemplate is to look at things within the templum, that designated field of experience within the mind. So we're maybe still using a concentration object like the breath, but along with the sensations of the breathing, there's also that a greater appreciation of the space, the stillness within which that movement occurs, the silence behind it, before it, after it, within it. And as the strength of concentration or focus becomes more steady, well established, undistracted, then we also notice that the feelings of the breath don't obstruct that space at all, that it's empty, a space within the breath, within the sensations as well as around them, before them, after them. That pattern of a feeling arising, taking shape with an inhalation, an exhalation, In itself, it is sunya, empty, insubstantial. There's a form, but no substance. Like a shaft of sunlight coming through the window, there's a shape to the beam of sunlight, but nothing solid there. You can walk through it with no resistance. Pass your hand through it, there's no obstruction. There's a shape, but no content, no substance, no core. So we can still use the practice of concentration with the breathing, making that a particular pattern of experience to train the attention, but at the same time, it can be a way of appreciating the inner spaciousness, that field of awareness within which all patterns of experience arise and take shape, dissolve. The breath comes and goes within the space of the mind, just like the sound of these words arise within the space of the mind, take their shape. They have their gaps between the words, the end of a sentence. But even as the words are resounding in our hearing, those sounds are empty. There's a form, but no substance, no core. The Buddha used images like the shape of a lump of foam on the river, or a water bubble from rain splashing on the pond, or a mirage in the desert, or the shape of a banana plant, or like a leek or an onion that's all leaf and no trunk, no core, no heartwood, or a conjuring trick. There's an appearance, but no essence. This is the mind appreciating the patterns of the five khandhas, form, feeling, perception, mental formation, sense consciousness. As the attention strengthens, the mind more easily resting in the present, knowing the present reality as it is, then we can let go of a particular object of concentration, like the breathing. We use the breath as a way of anchoring the attention in the present, but if the attention is already there, we don't need an anchor. If you've been following the GPS of your car to get to a destination, if you've arrived at your destination, you don't need the GPS. You have arrived. You're here. So when that strength of attention is well established, steady, grounded, then we can let go of the rhythm of the breathing as a specific object. Or if we've been using the inner sound, the nada, we can let go of that as a specific object, just let it be in the background. It's like the body continues breathing, whether we're concentrating on the breath or not. It's there, it's just part of the whole field of perception, the field of experience. When the attention is steady, there can be the establishment of an open awareness, the intention to simply to open the heart to the flow of experience. The sound of a machine bleeping on the building site, beginning, ending, my voice, beginning, ending. Sensations in your body, your knees, your back, your mouth, your hands. Random thoughts, plans for the future, memories of the past, judgments about yourself, other people, liking, disliking. Whole array of patterns of experience, the whole spectrum of the five khandhas can be welcomed into that spaciousness of the open heart, this open awareness, taking it all in, breathing it all in, sound, feeling, memory, opinion, excitement, depression, breathing it all in, knowing it, breathing it all out. It all arises, takes its shape, dissolves. But even as it's present, it's empty. Sound of a plane flying overhead. Words taking shape, beginning, ending. Some meaningful, some not meaningful. These are all patterns of perception, arising, taking shape, dissolving. The mind doesn't have to give any solidity or absolute meaning or value to these perceptions. They're just sankharas, formations arising and passing away. That's it. Well, the more that the heart can abide in this open, receptive quality, taking it all in, knowing it, letting it all go, it's like the mind is doing its own breathing, breathing in the patterns of the present. And then just as the breathing in of oxygen is the life source of the body, that knowing of feeling, memory, ideas, emotions, judgments, excitements, criticisms, the knowing of those formations is the life source. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to death. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead already. So the life source for the mind is that heedfulness, appamada, mindfulness. Taking everything in, knowing it, letting it all go. And just as in that verse that we chant so often with a funeral chanting, anicca vata sankhara upadavaya damino upacittava nirujanti te sang upa samo sukho. All conditions are transient, impermanent. Upadavaya damino, having integrated, they disintegrate. Upacittava nirujanti, having arisen, then they cease. Te sang upa samo sukho, and in their passing is peace. So as the solidity, the apparent solidity of substance of any condition is seen through, is recognized as transparent, te sang upa samo sukho, there's peacefulness, contentment, ease. So we don't even have to wait until the condition has come to an end, the sound of a machine or my voice or an uncomfortable sensation in the body. Its cessation is not just the ending of that condition in time, but cessation is also the ending of its apparent solidity, apparent substantiality. Its thingness. When its emptiness is recognized, there's sukha, contentment, ease, happiness, peacefulness. Te sang upa samo sukho. Oh, to sustain this quality of openness, receptivity, and non-entanglement, breathing it in, knowing it, breathing it all out. And we can use the reflections on anicca, transiency, uncertainty, change, all conditions, all perceptions, all formations are subject to the laws of change. Dukkha, no thing can permanently satisfy or bring completeness, completion. Dukkha, all things are necessarily unsatisfactory because they aren't really things. Trying to hold on to them or possess them can only disappoint. Can't do anything else. Anatta, these are not self. Every thought, every emotion, every memory, every physical attribute, every pattern of experience, our names, our age, our gender, our nationality, our family story, sunya, they're empty. Not self, anatta. But we can use these reflections to help sustain that quality of openness. When the mind latches on to a painful feeling or an excitement about the future, we question, is this excitement changing? Yes, it is. Therefore, let that awareness bring about the letting go. This opinion that I have, I'm so sure about, is that permanent? Is it substantial? Or is that something that has arisen? That which I call a fact. This isn't an opinion, it's a fact, Ajahn. Does that feeling of factness arise and pass away? Is it who and what we are? Does it have an owner? So we can use these reflections on anicca, dukkha, anatta, uncertainty, unsatisfactoriness, not-self, as a way of loosening the habitual grip on what we fear, what we dislike, what we like, what we own, what we are, all those creations. And the point of applying these reflections is not just to be thinking anicca, dukkha, anatta, but it's the quality of peace and ease that comes when the empty nature of the five khandhas is recognized. It's just a feeling. It's just a thought. It's just a sensation. It's just an opinion. It's just a plan. It's just a regret. It's just a judgment. That's all. Just that. So the development of insight, vipassana, is developing this way of saying no to the five khandhas. They're empty. They're not solid. They're not ours. Not who and what we are. They're sunya, empty. But in that same gesture of recognizing the empty nature, the not-self nature of the five khandhas, it's also a way of saying yes to Dhamma, to the suchness of this present reality. It's no to the five khandhas, but yes to the Dhamma itself. All things are empty, sunya, but they are also such, tataha. So in that letting go, rather than there being a sense of loss or absence or diminution, the heart opens to its own natural fullness, completeness, the suchness of the Dhamma, tatata. Here it is, the suchness of this present reality. The heart is complete, full, limitless, unburdened. Here it is, every moment. And it only gets forgotten, gets missed because of the habits of preoccupation, distraction. So if we use these reflections on anicca, dukkha, anatta, notice the effect, consciously feel the effect of applying those reflections. How does the heart feel when the grasping stops? When the suchness of this present reality is known? How does this feel? Let that speak for itself.